Now praise the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
This past about 7 weeks, it's been the period called Lent. And we have been talking about the seven things that Jesus Christ spoke on the cross of Calvary when he was going to die on the cross for your sin and mine. And today, being Palm Sunday, which means it's the very, very last week before the crucifixion, before the resurrection of Jesus, I want us to speak about the very last thing that Jesus said on the cross. I want you to come with me to the book of Luke. It should be up there. Chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23, verse 46. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 46. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was fast. I'm waiting for the last amen.
Amen.
Okay, there we go. I will read. Give me 1 minute. I have the wrong book. Really? I didn't say amen. I didn't say amen. The Bible says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I'll read again. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you just as we are. These words that you spoke to us, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit is going to help us interpret them, help us chew on them, help us just minister to us through these words. Father, today I pray that I decrease even as you increase in this service. Take away everything that is my own, everything that comes from my intelligence, everything that comes from my mind, and replace it, swap it out with what comes from your spirit. We love you, Father. We worship you. In humility we pray. Amen. Last week we had an opportunity to hear the cry, the last cry that Jesus said, which was tetelestai, which was, it is finished. Luke is telling us, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, of course, saying tetelestai, he said these particular words. He said, Father, unto your hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, the Bible says that he gave up his ghost. So, this is distracting me. That's better. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he has gone through the rigorous process. He's gone through the cross. Two weeks ago, we talked about the darkness and the things that were happening in the darkness, that the sin of humanity, that every sin that man had committed, everything was being implanted into his system, and he was going through the wrath of hell, the pain of hell, dealing with it for us on our behalf. And then the Bible says that he cried, Father, why have you forsaken me? We talked about that. That was a cry of, if he was a full human being, we would be saying that was a place of pain, a place of losing hope, a place of you know, a wilderness of some sorts is where he was. He was there all by himself. And then the Bible says that he changes tune. And in this place here, he says, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. I commend my spirit into your hands. Which means he's come full swing. He's come a full circle from the place where, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? To this place of understanding that there is no forsaking at all. That in any case, that there is still a Father outside of him that is still got power, that still has authority, that still has got his way, and that he's still glorifying his name. Amen. So the Bible says that he speaks these words and then he gives up his ghost. Now, I want us to learn a few things from this word that Jesus Christ speaks. And they are in red in the Bible. I tell people, if the words are in red in your Bible, it means they are very, very serious. And they need to be taken seriously. Praise the Lord. So it's red in mine because Jesus Christ spoke it. He says, Father, I commend my spirit into your arms. Now, one thing want us to learn about is the fact that, number one, that God is more powerful than death. Praise God. That he is outside of death. Now, this is Jesus. We all know that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God himself. It is God that has come as a man. He came down to us as a man. And in this particular place, when we are looking at this man that is dying on the cross of Calvary, we know that that is God. The Bible says, for unto us a son is given. It is God that is on the cross, that is dying, that is lifting up his hands and his voice. Then he says, Father, I commend my spirit into you. Which means that there is a part of God that is outside of death. I want us to not miss on this because it's very important. That there is a part of God that is outside of death, that is so much more powerful than death. That when Jesus Christ is on the cross and he's saying, Father, I commend my spirit to you, he's commending his spirit to this part of God that cannot die. Oh, come on. There is a part of God that does not die. The Bible says, I am, which means I was, I am, I will be. That in any moment of time in history, in any moment of time in eternity, he is I am. He is always going to be there. So when Jesus Christ is giving up the ghost on the cross of Calvary, there is still control. There is still order. There is still somebody that is seated on the throne somewhere. And it's not like, oh man, we are done. That, you know, it is not that hell is winning because the Son of God is on the cross of Calvary. There is still a God who has got authority, who has got honor, who is still in control, in full control. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, he speaks, he says, into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. There is a Father somewhere that is seated on the cross, even when things are dark, even when they seems like as if there is no hope. Because this is the very moment when the Son of God, the hope of the world, the true Redeemer of the kingdoms of the world, he is dying. The Bible says these words, he says, and then immediately he passes on. The prophet Isaiah, there is a king called Uzziah. Uzziah, King Uzziah was this righteous king. But then his day comes and he dies. And Isaiah the prophet, he had worked so well with this man of God who was the king. He feels fear inside his spirit. He feels anxiety inside of his spirit. Because where will the kingdom go after the king is dead? The Bible says, what do the righteous do when the foundations are shaken? See, King Uzziah dies, and the Bible says when Isaiah shows up to write, he says, on the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord Ah, come on. Don't miss it. The Bible says that Isaiah says, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. Listen to me, children of God. There is no given time in history or in the future or in the past where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is out of control. He is still in control at every given time of your life. It does not matter what is going wrong. It does not matter what seemingly is going out of order. It doesn't matter what seemingly is the condition of your life. There is still a King, and He is still in control. A King that Jesus says, I commend my spirit to you. I know you are in control. I know that you got this. I'm going to push us a little farther. Jesus says, unto you I commend my spirit. Listen to me, children of God. Jesus Christ, when He was dying like He was dying, and I know people are going to argue with me about this, so prepare yourself. If you want to quit the church, you're welcome to after this. Listen, Jesus Christ, when He was dying, there was no guarantee that He was going to rise from the dead. That doesn't seem Christian to say. It would not have been a temptation. It would not have been a big deal if it was that easy. If it was, you know what, I know I'm going to die and I'm going to resurrect and save you. The devil, all of heaven's, of hell's forces were directed towards keeping Him dead. All the forces of darkness. You know, if that day the enemy called all his armies and he said, we are going to keep Him dead. That is why there is a celebration when Jesus Christ resurrects. He wasn't going on there knowing, you know what, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back. That is why the Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ was straining. He was training. It was legitimate strain. It was legitimate sorrow. It was legitimate pain, because there was no guarantees that He was going to come back to life. There is no guarantees. That is why the Bible says the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is in operation inside of you. That is a lot of power. God had to summon all His forces as well to resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead, because the enemy wanted Him to stay dead. The enemy wanted Him, because as long as Jesus Christ stayed dead, there would be no redemption for humanity. As long as Jesus Christ stayed dead, there would be no salvation for you and me. And so everything was summoned to keep Him dead. But hallelujah, praise the Lord, because the Bible says that on the third day He rose from the dead. On the third day He came back to life. When Jesus Christ is saying, Father, I commend my spirit, my spirit into your hands, He's declaring like this. He's saying, Father, listen, I'm going to give you my spirit. I don't know how this is going to end, but I'm going to trust you with my spirit. I don't know how this is going to turn around, but I'm going to trust you. He's declaring yet again to His Father, listen, I know you got this. Oh, come on. He's saying to His Father, I know, listen, I'm going to go through with this because I trust in you. The Bible says that when we go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus Christ as a lamb that has been slain. As a lamb that has been slain. That on the, we will see Him as it is, as raw as it is. We will see the rawness of what He had to go through. We will see Him as it is, as He was, as it happened. This was not an easy feat, dying on the cross for the sin of humanity. It wasn't something like a walk in the park. It wasn't a joke that Jesus Christ chose to go through with this particular thing. He says to the Father, Father, if you can take away this cup, this is not an easy thing for me to do. He says,
I commend my spirit into your hand. And we're going to talk about this part. The first thing that I want you to learn is that God is outside of death, and that death will never, ever affect your Father in heaven. The Bible says, forget about death. It says, he who watches over Israel does not sleep nor slumber. He doesn't even sleep, leave alone die. God is alive. Man, you know, that's a statement that we say so easily. We never sit down to think about it. Think about it. He is alive, period. It does not matter what happens. He is alive. God is not dead. He is alive. God is not dead. He is alive. God is not dead. He is alive. Which means that even as you sit back, even when things are going dark, even when you're facing your death on your deathbed, you have to come to the understanding that there is somebody that is above this, that there is somebody in whose hands I can place my spirit, and my spirit will be safe. What Jesus was declaring was, see you later. It's like, daddy, this is not a goodbye. This is a see you later. I am going to see you in a little bit. He is telling his Father, I believe that you have got the capacity to raise me from the dead. Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ is saying, I have faith in you, God. I have trust in you, God. I know you, God. I know you can bring me back. Is what he's saying at the very, very last, at his very, very last breath. He says, Father, I commit my spirit into you. Number two thing that I want us to consider this morning. The spirit, your spirit, my spirit. The Bible says that God took the sand, the dust, and he made man. But then he did something else. He breathed his spirit inside man, the essence of life. He breathed this inside you, which means if the breath that I have, if the spirit that is operation inside of me is the spirit from God, then it dwells outside of God. Outside of death. That is deep again. Ponder it. Listen, if the breath that we have inside of us, it is God that says, then it means if it's direct from God, then it means that it shall not see death. I wrote on your bulletin that your body is a vessel that is only used to carry that spirit, to ferry it from place to place here on earth. But your body is made of the dust of the earth, which means that once this business is done, your body goes back to the dust. Because that's where it belongs. It's already reached its destination, but your spirit has not. So when Jesus Christ is saying, he's in essence saying, I am separating my spirit from my body and handing it to you for safekeep. Because you see, something else is going to happen when we go. Something else is going to happen when we go. The third thing I want you to learn is so true, and it's a fact. Statistically proven, 10 out of 10 people die. You're dying. I am. But you see, the death that happens will be the death according to the way we choose to live our life. The death that we will happen will be to this body, to this flesh. But my spirit can be alive in God even when I go down. Jesus says, I can separate myself. I can bring my spirit and hand it into the hand of the Father. And you can do the same. You can say, Father, my time has come. I have done everything I came to do. Now I hand my spirit over to you for safe keeps. because your body has reached its destination. I wrote in your bulletin that the devil will make you fall so much in love with this world, in love with the flesh, in love with anything that can come to your flesh and make your flesh happy, that you forget thinking about your eternity. But there is an invitation that says, listen to me, your spirit is not going to die. Your spirit is going to need somewhere to live after your body is done with its business. Where will you choose to have your spirit dwell afterwards? Jesus says, Father, in your hands I place my spirit. I want us to read the book of Ecclesiastes, which Ecclesiastes, if I'm saying it wrong, forgive me. English is like my seventh language, so deal with it. Amen. Chapter number 12. Chapter number 12. I'll read from verse number 5. Did I put up there from verse 5? Yes, I did. I'll read from verse number 5. This is what happens when you die. The Bible says also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Which means basically, when you die. I mean, that's all that's saying. It's when you die is all that many, many statements are saying. Verse number 6, it says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Verse number 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So it is inevitable that you and I, unless Jesus Christ comes before your day, it is inevitable that something is going to have to give, and your body has to go back to where it belongs, which is in the dust. Your body will be separated from your spirit. And the spirit, remember, I've told you earlier, the spirit has been breathed by God. It has to go back to its owner, to God, is what the Bible says. Your spirit will be separated from your body, and it will go back to where it belongs, which is in the hands of God. And Jesus Christ clearly had learned this, and he quotes, I believe, Psalms chapter number 31, verse 5. He says, into your hands I commit my spirit. By the way, if you've realized, Jesus Christ never said anything that's not in the Old Testament. He only spoke scripture, and which you should speak scripture. You should speak scripture upon each and every situation and each and every place in your life. If you don't know scripture, read. Amen. So you can be able to speak scripture. Amen. Jesus Christ says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He quotes this Psalm of David, when David is crying unto God and he says, Lord, I commit my spirit into your arms. Jesus Christ pulls that up and he says it here. And he's aware that that is what's going to happen. As according to Ecclesiastes, he says, my spirit will return to God as my body goes to the dust. Which means when I'm dead, there is nothing there. There is nothing in the body. There is nothing in the body. I am a believer. When I die, something happens. My spirit goes to the Father. And I, whatever you do with whatever remains, it's not up to me. It's already done its part. It's already accomplished its purpose, which was to do something for me while I'm walking around. So death is not your end. If there is anything else that you will pick up from today, is that Jesus Christ, when he is at his end, he declares, this is not the end. Because he realizes and he says that the spirit will not go together with the body into the dead. The spirit is moving to the next. If you want to go to hit the next slide, I'll appreciate that. The four lessons that we learn. First lesson, I think we've dealt with
The Lord God is the Lord even at death. We've already dealt with that. If you want to hit the next one. Now, death is man's greatest enemy. Death is man's biggest enemy. It is what we are all anxious about or afraid about, afraid of. I had a conversation this week with a brother who is a believer, but he told me that he was thinking about committing suicide. And he told me that according to him, committing suicide would not really be wrong, because the only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of blaspheming the Spirit of God. And he continued saying, in that way, he knows that if he committed suicide, he's automatically forgiven because, well, he's a believer. Death is the enemy for you and for me. It is what's meant to bring us down. But on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, in saying, Father, I commit my spirit to you, is making a declaration that death has got nothing on him. That death can do whatever it wants to do with the body. It can do whatever it wants to do with the body, but the spirit has got a place. Thank you for saying amen. The spirit has got a place. Listen, death can do whatever. He says, I have defeated you, death. You can do nothing that will hurt me. You can do nothing that will hurt me. It doesn't matter what, my spirit has got a place in the hands of the Father, is what Jesus is declaring. I want to tell you, child of God, that death is the greatest enemy. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he dies, and then the Bible says he comes back to life, which means he defeats the greatest enemy to mankind. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you are not going to die. Oh my goodness. When Jesus Christ chooses to do this part, to commit his spirit and give up the ghost, he is declaring, listen, I am going to go inside and I'm going to deal with it from the inside. And then he deals with it, and then he comes back to life. He resurrects back to life so that you and me will never have to see death. Oh, but my brother was a believer and we buried him. We did. My cousin, my grandpa, my grandma, my auntie, all these relatives that went away when they were believers, meant they didn't die. Oh my goodness, your greatest enemy has been defeated. I want you to come with me to the book of Corinthians, chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Again, like I said, this sermon is not going to sound so Christian. But I believe and I want to declare in the church, I'm still born again. Christ is my Savior. Amen. I am born again. I'm still a Christian. I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I wrote up there that we are going to begin at verse number 51. I'm thinking I might just begin a little bit earlier than verse number 51. I'll just begin at verse number 51 so that we don't go into time. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, it's mysterious. That is why we don't understand it. It's a mystery. Now, Paul is writing these things having received a revelation from God. Now, I wrote on the bulletin that there's a revelation that you need to get. A revelation that death is not a destination. And the moment that revelation, and I'm not talking to the knowledge of, I'm talking to the revelation of, that may the Spirit of God invade the privacy of your thoughts and reveal this into your spirit, that listen, death is not a destination. Death is a doorway. I hope somebody's praying. I hope somebody's praying this in the spirit. Father, reveal this to me. Father, open my heart so that I can see it with the mind of my spirit. Because you see, with your physical mind, you might not understand these things because they are mysterious. Amen. It's written there, they are mystery. Paul says, it's a mystery I'm going to reveal to you. Verse number 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. Listen to me. The moment that you stop being here, the moment that your last breath is pulled in or out, that very moment, something happens. You don't die. You are simply just changed. That is why you never return. Because you are no longer there. When Jesus Christ overcame death on the cross, he overcame death, period. We will be changed. We shall be changed. Listen to me. You will be changed. What will be happening at your death when everybody is crying, like Ecclesiastes says, when the mourners are going around, what will be happening in you will be a metamorphosis. A change will be happening in you. You are taking off of this physical body and taking on another body that is spiritual. And the Bible says that the moment that we are absent from our bodies, we are present with the Lord. Which means I am not dying. It says in a twinkling of an eye. Oh my goodness. It says it's going to happen so fast. The moment I stop breathing, I'm on the other side. I am not dying. I will never taste death. Ah, come on. Like I said, it's a mystery. May the Spirit of God reveal it in your spirit. Because your mind will never wrap around this. Because your cousin died. Your mind will never wrap around this. Because your uncle died. Because that is what we all know. They die and we bury them. But the Bible says it's a mystery. We are not dying. We are being changed. Continuing. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body, must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on the immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, my goodness. I told you all that I'm going to write a book about this. I'm still going to. And I like the way that God continues opening our eyes to these things. Things that Jesus understands very well. Listen, when we die, we get transitioned, we get changed, and we transition to another realm of time, which is called eternity, which is not our time, the time that we live in. So in our time that we live in, a day, one day, so you died from morning to evening, the Bible says in the heavenly time, in eternity's timeline, it is 1,000 years, as Peter is going to tell us. So which means one day of your death is 1,000 years. In 1,000 years, Jesus Christ has returned. The resurrection has happened. The judgment has happened. But in one day, in the twinkling of an eye, when you are absent from this body, you are present with the Lord. Which means in the other timeline, everything has happened and you are just in the presence of God. It is all taken care of. Praise the Lord. He says, we shall not sleep. We shall not all die. You will never taste death. You will close your eyes and open your eyes somewhere else. says, I say to you a mystery. Jesus says, in your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. And as he commends his spirit, he goes through real legitimate death. The death that you are supposed to die. The death that you and I are supposed to die eternally. Forever. The death that if you don't choose to believe in Jesus today, you shall surely die. That is in black and white. If you do not choose to follow Jesus, if you do not choose to believe Jesus, you will die. But if you choose today to say, Jesus, I am yours, I believe in you, you will never taste of death. That is why Jesus showed up everywhere. People were dead, and then you'd be like, nah, he's just sleeping. And they never understood him. Because Jesus Christ could see in the other timeline. He could see that this child is alive. Because this child does not taste of death. Come on. And people, the Bible says that the professional mourners that were crying because of the death of the girl, they were starting to laugh. How dare you say she's sleeping? We know what dead looks like. Jesus says, no, she's not. She's just asleep. Because when we are in Christ Jesus, we are just asleep. Our body is taken back to the dust where it remains, where it belongs. But our spirit is alive in him. It is alive. It's transformed. It is changed. The corruptible, the mortal must give up its reins. And that is what goes down. But the immortal now comes up and swallows. And then death is swallowed up in victory. This is a difficult, difficult teaching. That is why at the beginning I prayed for you. And I asked that you also pray that God will reveal it to you. Because this is not knowledge that comes through head knowledge. It comes from the spirit knowledge when your heart is able to grasp it. Jesus says on the cross, Father, I commit my spirit in you. Because for Jesus, that was death. Oh. For Jesus, that was death. He actually was dying so that you and I would never see death. So that you and I would never go there into the bowels of hell. Eternity is not a small time. We live on the earth, and if you're lucky, you hit 114 years. If you're lucky like me, 125. Strong and, you know, preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. What? I see how it is. You guys want your pastor dead. You're like, we're not going to be dealing with that, man. You know, shipping you from church to church on a stretcher. And then pushing up the stretcher, you stand and preach. Church is like, we don't want to deal with that. You go, man. It is well. That is just a period in the time called eternity. It's just 125 is like a drop in an ocean. And we get to choose where we spend that eternity. Because your spirit will either be alive in heaven or be alive in hell, where the Bible says that the worms thereof do not die. And it says that the fire is not quenched in there. So your spirit won't die. It will be dead but alive, going through the rigorous torment of hell forever. It's not like when you get to hell, you are going to die and then the fire will burn you to death and then you're like, I'm done. You will hear every minute of it, every part of it, the same way with heaven. We will enjoy every minute of it. We will hear, feel, see, touch every moment, everything of it that happens in the heavens. But we get to choose that today. Let us finish, otherwise we will not finish. Death indeed is swallowed up in victory. When it comes to the question about suicide and choosing to commit suicide, I want to say to you this, the same thing I said to this man. I said to him, the Bible says if you've sinned willfully, then there is no more sacrifice for you. So if you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go kill this woman here because I know I will be forgiven, and you go ahead and kill that person, there is no more sacrifice for you. There is no more redemption for you. If you choose to willfully commit suicide, saying because I will be forgiven, then you are a liar. The Bible says if you willfully do it, if you know that it's wrong and then you just go ahead and do it, you're like, it's like telling God, yeah, grace, show what it can do. I'm going to do everything I want to do. I don't care. Pride, which is the sin that the devil suffers from a lot, is what's going to take you down. Amen. And the Bible says when we are in Christ Jesus, we do not sin. We cannot sin. We don't have the ability to sin when we are in Christ Jesus, which means the Holy Spirit is going to continuously remind you. Now, that said, depression is real. It is a legitimate sickness and disease. I personally believe it comes from Satan, as do all the other diseases. And number two thing that I believe is that Jesus Christ is a solution to depression. That if we can hide in him, he has the power and the ability to deliver you, to heal you, and to restore you. He does. He has got all that in his power. He has it. If you feel depressed, it's a real disease. We are not going to judge. Seek help. We have suicide prevention helplines. Give them a call. Lift your phone and call. If somebody says, or if you sense that your friend, your relative is depressed, ask them the right questions. Ask them directly, do you want to commit suicide? Do you want to kill yourself? And when they say yes, lift up that phone, Google that number, call. There are people there that can be able to help, even as we pray for these people. So we are not going to say we are dismissing that. We are saying we acknowledge that it's something that is ongoing. We know that there is a solution in Jesus. So if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I am believing Jesus 101% that he will deliver me, that he will save me, that he will restore me, we are going to stand with you and pray with you. However, if you want one person that is saying, I need help, call that number, call a counselor, be able to talk to somebody about it so that you can get the help that you need to get. It is a real disease. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness and his power. He is able to deliver and heal and restore you. In fact, the Bible says that for the spirit of heaviness, he will bring the garment of praise. He has got that. So if you're in such a place, I want you to know that Jesus Christ can bring a garment of praise into your life. In that place, in that funk, in that place of depression, Jesus Christ can replace that. The Bible says that when King Saul, he was going through depression, I believe, schizophrenic or something. He was going all crazy with the demons. The Bible says that they brought in David and David played music and it healed his soul and it restored him. I want to say that the garment of praise that God can bring into your life can save you and can deliver you from that funk of depression in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Death has got no power. But then it's not up to you to take your life. It is not up to you to take your life because it doesn't have a sting anymore. Let's continue reading that because I stopped reading, I believe. So it shall be delivered. We started reading at 51. Verse number 55. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse number 57, which is powerful, it says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. which means that your labor is not in vain, that whatever it is that you will go through as you serve Jesus, that it shall not be in vain. If there's a next slide, let's go to that even as we close. That was our second lesson. Our third lesson was that. The third one is, since God is beyond death, we can trust him even when facing death. Jesus Christ shows an incredible amount of faith in saying these words, "I commit my spirit into your hands." Remember, we talked about Jesus Christ having just cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And then here he says, "I'm bringing my spirit to you." He's trusting Jesus. It is that place of trust, that place of faith. Faith in God, faith in the ability of God. And that's the third thing that I want you to bring home, is that we can trust God in that darkness, in that place where we are facing death, either physical death, emotional death, financial death, whatever death it is, you can put your trust in God. You can say, "Father God Almighty, even as I face this circumstance, I still know that you are able. I still know that you're alive. I still know that you're capable. I still know that you have the ability and the capacity to deliver me, the capacity to rescue me. I can put my spirit in your hands because I know and I trust." That is the declaration Jesus is making. I have faith in him, that even though I know that a few moments ago, I felt like he'd left me, I still believe that he's on the throne. I still believe that he has the capacity and the ability to hold on to my spirit. Praise the Lord. So God is beyond death. We can trust him when facing death. And it might be years from now, like I said, all of us are going. When we are in that deathbed, I want to declare to you that you can still trust him. And I'm talking about like physical death. When your time comes, you want to know that you can trust him, that you can put yourself in your spirit into his hands. Because again, it's a simple transition, a beautiful transition, because it happens so fast you will never know it. The Bible says within the twinkling of an eye, you know, like you blink and then you unblink, you close your eyes and you open them on the other side. You can trust the Father, you can trust Christ for the finished work that he did on the cross of Calvary. The fourth thing that I want us to learn today, I talked about that, so this the last one, the fourth thing, even as we close. There's no fourth thing. No. Faith is the center of it all and through it all. I guess that's the last thing. It's the fourth thing and the final thing, faith. The Bible says that your salvation is near unto thee, even close to you, to your very heart and to your very mouth. That if you believe in your heart and you confess, then you shall be saved. That is all it takes, folks. That is all it takes. It takes you believing in Jesus. If this transition is going to happen as beautifully as I've described it, it takes faith. It takes you saying, "I surrender." It takes you saying, "Father, my spirit, I commit it into your hands today." It takes you saying, "I put myself here before you. I am all yours. Use me as you would." So I want you to stand up on your two feet. I don't know why the Lord had me speaking about suicide today. I want to say, though, that Wyoming is the third leading in suicides in the country. They say it's because of the wind, and then they say it's because we have guns. I believe it's because the devil is at work. I believe that with all of my heart. In the year 2008, there was 2.5 million attempted suicides in the U.S. 2.5 million in the year 2008. That same year, about 1.8 successful suicides in the country. We are only link that can save these brothers and sisters, that can save your workmate, that can save your colleague. Number one, we do it on our knees. We just cancel that spirit of suicide from our state. From our state, we are in the state capital for a reason, and we are the underground church for a reason. So nobody can see what is going on down here, but there's fire down here, amen. This fire, the work of the Spirit that is taking place down here. And if you're in the church and you're feeling the heaviness of heart, if you're here today, I want to know that God knows your case. He knows your story. And He is able to deliver you. He is able to save you and remove you from that funk. Or if you have a relative or a friend that is going through the same thing. Like I said, I don't know why the Holy Spirit brought that up today. I want you to know that you can save people when you kneel down and pray. You can save people when you open your voice and speak to them, when you ask the right questions. You can save lives. So I want to take this moment to pray. As Pastor Susan would say, to talk to the boss. We have to talk to the big one. And I want you to open your heart to Him and say, God, use me as an instrument. Use me as an instrument that will save somebody. Oh God, save me. Whichever the case. Father God, in the mighty name of your Son Jesus, we stand here upon this altar, an altar that is dedicated to Yahweh. An altar that has been erected by the work of your Spirit, only by the work of your Spirit, in the very heart of this city, at the heart, at this capital of this state. Lord, we decree upon this place, first of all, speaking the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaketh better than the blood of the people that have committed suicide in this state, the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of the children and the babies that have been aborted, the blood that speaketh better things than the blood that is innocently been shed upon this land. Father, we lift up your banner in this state in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead your blood that speaketh better things upon each and every corner of this state in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare, Father, that the spirit of suicide, that the voices of the dead and the works of the enemy, that they shall be silenced even now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, the string of deaths that are happening even in the Carolinas where there was the shooting, Father God, we just want to silence that. We want to quiet the spirit and the voices of the dead now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we proclaim the name of Jesus over this state and over this country in the mighty name of Jesus. Every provision that we have had for the enemy, today we render it null and void. Every covenant that we have done, knowingly or unknowingly, that we've signed, my Father, an agreement with Satan over suicides in this nation and in this state, Father, we tear that agreement up in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare life. We declare life in the mighty name of Jesus. We bring down the spirit of depression. We cancel its effects on people, on people's lives, on people's minds. We call them to lose in the mighty name of Jesus. Devil, we put you on notice. You have no place in our state. You have no place in our country. You have no place in this city in the mighty name of Jesus. Today we lift up the banner of Yahweh, in this nation, the banner of Yahweh in this city, that the flag that is flying high is the flag of Jesus Christ. A flag of life. Thank you, Father. Today, Father, we want to repent as a people, as individuals, and on behalf of the states, on behalf of the families, on behalf of our young people, Father, we repent. We ask you to forgive us. We ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will bring your reigning power and your spirit, my Father, and that, Lord Jesus Christ, you will shower us with rain again. Rain that is rain that brings life. Rain that is rain that brings life, my Father God, that brings hope yet again in the lives of these young people, young men and women, that there is hope, my Father God Almighty, that you're turning the darkness into light. You're bringing the spirit of the garment of praise in their lives, my Father God Almighty. I pray that you're going to set up divine intervention, my Father, divine meetings, my Father God Almighty, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, there shall be life in this state. That this shall not be our story. That this statistic shall not be our statistic in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you and we worship you because you're faithful. Thank you for overcoming death for us. Thank you because we can live joyously even when the mourners are running up and down, that as our spirits come to you, Jesus, there will be joy and praise. We love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ, today is the day. Now is the hour of salvation. Amen. So if you haven't yet, I want you to come see me after this. Let us pray together. If you're in something, if you're going through something here, come and see me. Let's pray together. Amen. Father God, we bless you for this congregation. Thank you for the work that you've done today. Thank you for the freedom that you've given today. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that is at work in us, interpreting this word. Thank you for the revelation of life after death to us today, revealing that mystery to us. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.